الحمد لله، والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله. يسر إخوانكم في موقع دار الحديث بالشحر أن يقدموا لكم هذه المادة لفضيلة الشيخ أبي عبد الرحمن عبد الله بن عمر بن مرعي بن بريك حفظه الله تعالى. والآن مع المادة.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. أما بعد، فتتمة لما سبق من الكلام على أركان الإيمان، اليوم مع الركن السادس من أركان الإيمان، وهو الإيمان بالقدر. والإيمان بالقدر هو أحد أركان الإيمان الستة التي دلت أدلة الكتاب والسنة على وجوب الإيمان به، فإنه لا يتم إيمان مؤمن حتى يتم له الإيمان بالقدر، كما قال الله عز وجل: وكل شيء خلقناه بقدر. وقال الله جل وعلا في كتابه الكريم: ما أصاب من مصيبة في الأرض ولا في أنفسكم إلا في كتاب من قبل أن نبرأها، إن ذلك على الله يسير، لكي لا تأسوا على ما فاتكم ولا تفرحوا بما آتاكم، والله لا يحب كل مختال فخور. وقال الله عز وجل كذلك: وربك يخلق ما يشاء ويختار، ما كان لهم الخيرة، سبحان الله وتعالى عما يشركون. وقال الله سبحانه وتعالى: وهو على كل شيء قدير. وهكذا الآيات في هذا كثيرة، وهكذا الأحاديث عن نبينا صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وسلم في الإيمان بالقدر. وينبغي أن نعلم أن الإيمان بالقدر لا يتم حتى يؤمن بكل تفاصيل مباحث القدر كما جاء في الكتاب والسنة. ومن ذلك الإيمان بمراتب القدر الأربعة: العلم، وهكذا الكتابة، والمشيئة، والخلق. العلم بأن الله جل وعلا بكل شيء عليم، علم كل شيء من أمر خلقه سبحانه وتعالى، علم بالأشياء قبل إيجادها ووقوعها، وحين توجد وتقع كيف تكون، لأنه سبحانه وتعالى بكل شيء عليم. فإن من مقتضى الإيمان أن الله جل وعلا بكل شيء عليم أن نؤمن بأن الله عز وجل علم بكل شيء جملة وتفصيلا، أزلا أي فيما مضى إلى ما لا نهاية، وأبدا أي فيما يأتي إلى ما لا نهاية، سواء كان ذلك مما يتعلق بأفعال العباد، أو ما يتعلق بأوصافهم وذواتهم، وهكذا ما يتعلق بأفعاله جل وعلا. فهو بكل شيء عليم. ألم تعلم أن الله يعلم ما في السماء والأرض؟ إن ذلك في كتاب، إن ذلك على الله يسير. فالإيمان بالعلم هو أحد مراتب الإيمان بالقدر، الذي لا يتم الإيمان بالقدر حتى يتم الإيمان به. وكل مسلم يعلم عموم علم الله عز وجل، ومن هذا العموم الإيمان بالقدر، بأن الله عز وجل علم بكل شيء جملة وتفصيلا، ومن ذلك ما يتعلق بالعباد بذواتهم وأوصافهم، وهكذا كذلك بأفعالهم وأعمالهم. وقد أنكر هذه المرتبة من مراتب القدر طائفة أو طوائف من أهل الأهواء قديما، وكفرهم العلماء، لأنهم بهذا جحدوا ما هو معلوم من الدين بالضرورة، وما تواترت أدلة الكتاب والسنة وإجماع سلف الأمة على إثباته، وهو العلم. ولهذا تواترت النقولات عن الأئمة بتكفير هذه الطائفة من القدرية الذين جحدوا العلم، لأنهم بهذا كما قلنا أنكروا ما هو معلوم من الدين بالضرورة. والواجب الإيمان بعموم علم الله عز وجل، ومن ذلك أنه يعلم في أوصاف وذوات العباد وأفعالهم، ولا منافاة بين علم الله عز وجل السابق للشيء قبل وقوعه، وبين كون الشيء يقع من العبد باختياره ومشيئته. فإن الله عز وجل من كمال ربوبيته سبحانه وتعالى أنه لا يخفى عليه من أمر عباده شيء، والمخلوق من كمال تعبده لربه يستيقن أنه لا مشيئة له إلا مشيئة تابعة لمشيئة الرب سبحانه وتعالى، وهو في نفس الوقت يفعل باختياره، يفعل باختياره. وضرب بعض العلماء لهذا مثلا مشيئة تابعة لمشيئة الرب سبحانه وتعالى، وضرب بعض العلماء في هذا المقام مثلا يريدون به تقريب الأمر وتوضيحه، ولله المثل الأعلى سبحانه وتعالى. قالوا لو أن أبا عنده أبناء وأراد أن يختبر طاعتهم وبرهم، فأخبر أم الأبناء بأننا سنختبر هؤلاء الأبناء بأمر، وأرى أن فلان وفلان سيطيع وفلان وفلان سيعصي. فلما أمر بما أمر به وقع بمثل ما أخبر هذا الأب، فعلم من عصى من الأبناء بخبر الأب لأمهم، فذهبوا يتعللون ويعلقون مخالفتهم وعدم طاعتهم بأن الأب قد أخبر قبل ذلك أنهم لن يطيعوا. قال العلماء: فإذا كان كل عاقل ومنصف يعلم أن تعلل هؤلاء الأبناء بهذه الحجة لا يزيد الأب عليهم إلا سخطا، فإنهم بهذا يستحقون العقاب مرتين: المرة الأولى لمعصيتهم وعدم برهم وطاعتهم، والمرة الثانية لاستدلالهم وتعلقهم بما لا يصح الاستدلال به والتعلق به. ومثال آخر: لو أن رجلا عنده عمال في تجارة له، فأراد أن يختبر أمانة عماله بأمر ما، فأخبر أن فلان سينجح في هذا الاختبار وفلان سيفشل فيه، فوقع بمثل ما أخبر، فذهب الفاشل في اختباره يستدل ويتعلل بكونه قد أخبر قبل ذلك أنه سيفشل في الاختبار، فهذا عند كل عاقل ومنصف يتبين به أن هذا العامل الخائن الفاشل في الاختبار يستحق العقاب مرتين: المرة الأولى لأجل خيانته، والمرة الثانية لكونه تعلل واستدل بما لا يصح التعلل والاستدلال به. وهكذا ولله المثل الأعلى. لا يجوز لأحد أن يستدل بالقدر على المعاصي بحجة أن الله عز وجل قد علم ما سيكون منه، فيقال: إذا كان بين المخلوقين العلم لا يستلزم الإكراه، بل إن دل على شيء دل في مثال الأب على كمال أبوة هذا الأب، ودل في حق رب المال على كمال خبرته وفراسته في معرفة عماله، فكيف بالله عز وجل وهو سبحانه وتعالى لا يخفى عليه شيء في الأرض ولا في السماء، ولا يعزب عن علمه مثقال ذرة ولا أصغر ولا أدنى من ذلك، فإن من كمال ربوبيته جل وعلا أنه لا يخفى عليه من أمر عباده شيء، ولا ينافي هذا العلم كون أن العبد يفعل ذلك باختياره، كما قال الله سبحانه في كتابه الكريم: إنا هديناه السبيل إما شاكرا وإما كفورا، وكما قال الله عز وجل: وهديناه النجدين، أي الطريقين الواضحين الظاهرين، وكما قال الله عز وجل: وأما ثمود فهديناهم فاستحبوا العمى على الهدى. هداهم الله وبين لهم طريق الحق من طريق الباطل، طريق الهدى من طريق الضلال، فهم اختاروا بمحض اختيارهم العمى على الهدى. فخلاصة هذا أنه لا حجة لأحد على القدر يستدل به على مخالفته ومعصيته، بل الحجة لله سبحانه وتعالى على خلقه. والآن يترجم أخونا أبو حذيفة حفظه الله.
شيخ أبو عبد الرحمن عبد الله بن عمر العدني حفظه الله تعالى started this lesson saying بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم, praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and bearing witness that none has the right to be worshipped except Allah alone, who has no partner, and that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam is his slave and messenger. As for what follows, we continue and complete inshallah ta'ala what we have started with in these lessons concerning the arkanul iman, the pillars of faith, the pillars of iman, and we are now talking about the sixth pillar, which is al-qadr, the decree of Allah and what he, yani the predestination he has given for his creation. And this is one of the pillars. The decree of Allah is one of the pillars of faith, of iman, one of the six pillars that the text from the Quran, the Sunnah, have indicated that it is obligatory for the Muslim to believe in, and that the faith of a believer is not complete except through believing in al-qadr. Like Allah said in the Quran, "Inna kulla shay'in khalaqnahu biqadr." Verily, everything we have created it by qadr or with qadr. And Allah says in Surah Al-Hadid, وَمَا أَصَابَ مِن مُصِيبَةٍ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَلَا فِي أَنفُسِهِمْ or فِي أَنفُسِكُمْ no calamity befalls on the earth or in yourselves إِلَّا فِي كِتَابٍ مِن قَبْلِ أَن نَبْرَأَهَا but it is inscribed in the book of decrees before we bring it into existence. This is ayah number 22 of Surah Al-Hadid, يعني the 57th Surah of the Quran. And Allah says in another surah, and your Lord create whatever He wants and He chooses. And Allah says in many ayat, وَهُوَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٍ He is capable or powerful above everything. And the ayat of the Book of Allah are very numerous, showing that, يعني explaining the obligation to believe in al-Iman bil-Qadr. And as well the ahadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam are numerous concerning this pillar of faith. And al-Iman bil-Qadr is not completed or does not complete except if the believer believes in all the details that are mentioned in the authentic text of the Sunnah and also from the Quran concerning al-Qadr. And from it is to believe in the four stages or the four levels of Qadr. The first level is al-Ilm, the knowledge, and it will be explained. The second, yani meaning that Allah knowledgeable of everything. The second is al-kitaba, the fact that Allah has written down everything in al-lawh al-mahfuz. The third one is al-mashi'a, is the will of Allah. And the fourth one is al-khalq, the fact that Allah has created everything. So Shaykh Abdullah Hafizahullah Ta'ala started talking about this first martaba, the first level of al-iman bil-qadr, and it is al-ilm, knowledge. It's the fact that Allah is knowledgeable or knows everything. He knows everything which is everything concerning His creation, even before the creation was there in the first place, and before those things happened, He knew about it already. And also, He knows about it at the moment where they are happening. He knows exactly how they happen and how they happen in what circumstances and so on and so forth. And from this, the iman in this martaba, in this level, is that you believe that Allah knows everything, like we say in Arabic, jumlatan wa tafsilan, meaning He has the general knowledge of everything and also the detailed and specific knowledge. Azalan wa abadan. Azalan meaning from always before, yani from the past without no limit. He has always known everything, and abadan, about everything from the future without any limit. Allah knows everything. And this is whether it be concerning the matters of his creation, of his slaves, or their characteristics, or the situations that they are in. Allah knows about all of this. Like Allah says in the Quran, do you not know that Allah knows everything that is in the skies and on the earth? And verily, this is easy for Allah. Verily, this is written down in a book, and this is easy for Allah. So, every Muslim knows about the general knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And from this is the knowledge of Al-Qadr. And there has been groups from amongst the people of Hawa, the people of innovation, who have negated or denied this level of Al-Qadr. And this is why the ulama have made takfir of those people. They have declared them to be kuffar, non-Muslims, because they have negated something which is known, like we say in Arabic, ma'lumun min ad-dini bid-darura, meaning this is something which everybody knows from the religion. Yani every common Muslim knows about this. He is forced to know about this because of yani the little knowledge that a Muslim has. Yani through this he knows about this. Then secondly, the texts from the Quran and the Sunnah are numerous concerning this matter. So this is why there have been many reports from the early scholars of the early generations of this ummah concerning making takfir of those sects who negated this level of al-iman bil qadr. So we said this is because it's ma'lumun bil darura, yani this is something that everybody knows from the religion. And then Sheikh Abdullah goes on saying that there is no contradiction in the fact that Allah knows about something before it happens, and the fact that the slave does what he does through his own choice. Rather, it is from the complete rububiyyah, the complete lordship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that he knows about strictly everything which is linked to the situation of his creation. And it is from the complete ubudiyyah, yani enslavement of the slave, or worship of the slave, that he understands that he has no mashi'ah, he has no own will, except, as we said, the complete enslavement, or the perfect worship from the slave to his lord, is from it is that he knows that he has no own will, except that it is following up or linked to the will of Allah, meaning that it does not go out the will or go outside the will of Allah. Meaning, يعني أقول لهم لا يستطيع أن يشاء شيء لم يشاءه الله. استطيع أن أقول لهم هذا؟
قد يفهمون شيء خاطئ
بهذا. طيب.
لكن قول متعلق بعدين سيأتي إيضاح.
طيب إن شاء الله تعالى شيخ عبد الله says that we will bring more clarification concerning this topic later on إن شاء الله تعالى. Then he went on حفظه الله تعالى saying that the ulama have given an example for this as to clarify this issue and يعني making it easier for the people to understand. Take for example a father who has a number of children and he wants to test his children by seeing who will be righteous and thankful to his parents and who will be not that way. So he tells the mother that he's going to test their children, and he knows that so and so and so and so they will be doing good in this test, and so and so and so and so they will disobey us and they will act foolish and so on and so forth. So he does the test, and exactly, and it happens exactly the way the father had said it would happen. Then you see those children who have been disobedient going to the parents and saying that it only happened because father had already said that it would happen this way, and making excuses for themselves for falling into disobedience to their parents by saying that it's because their father had already said that it would happen that way. So here you see, يعني every reasonable person sees that the reason that those children mention is complete nonsense, and that this will only make the father more angry upon them, because first of all, they have disobeyed their parents. Secondly, they have made excuses for themselves with completely invalid arguments. So you see that this will only make the situation worse. Another example is the example of a man who has a business and he has people working for him. So he wants to test his workers. He gives them an amana, he entrusts them with wealth and asks them to take care of this wealth. And he knows that so and so and so and so will take care of this wealth and preserve it, and he knows that this and yani so and so and so and so will spoil it and lose it or whatever. So things turn out to be exactly the way the man had thought it was going to be. Then the same way you see those people who have lost their amana go and say that this only happened because he had said it would happen that way, and so on and so forth. So here again you see that this will only make the situation of those people worse, because they make excuses for their own selves, for their own weakness of amana, and for their own disobedience in things that they have no right to say so, and this is complete falsehood. And as Sheikh said, لِلَّهِ الْمَثَلُ الْأَعْلَى. Allah has the greatest example, or the highest example. So, in the same way, it is not permissible for any of us to take as an excuse for his sins and his shortcomings the fact that Allah had known this in advance. Rather, if we look at the stories that have been mentioned, we see that in the case of the father, the fact that he knew in advance what would happen concerning his children, it shows you the complete and proper fatherhood that he had concerning his children, in the sense that he had been educating them for so long that he knew exactly what would happen, because he knew their personality and he knew the way they act and everything concerning those children. So how is it with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Lord of all the worlds? He is the one who knows absolutely everything concerning the matters of his slaves, and this does not negate the fact that the slave, when he does whatever he does it by his own choice. He is the one who chooses to do what he does, and he is responsible for that. And this is like Allah said in the Quran, "Inna hadaynahu sabila, imma shakiran wa imma kafura." Verily, we have guided him to the straight path, and then he was either thankful or unthankful, kafura, yani disbelieving in the goodness that we have given to him. And Allah says in another ayah, وَهَدَيْنَاهُ النَّجْدَيْنِ, and we have guided him, يعني هَدَيْنَاهُ النَّجْدَيْنِ, يعني بَيَّنَّا لَهُ الْحَقُّ وَالْبَاطِلِ. نعم, يعني we have clarified for them the two paths clearly, the path of right and the path of falsehood. We have made them clear for him. And Allah also said concerning Thamud, and Thamud, or as far as Thamud is concerned, then we have guided them to the right path, but they have preferred to stay blind. Yani they have preferred staying blind over guidance, and this is why we have taken them with the punishment. So nobody has any argument arguing that يعني he is not responsible for his sins, because Allah has known this in advance. نعم شيخنا.
وهكذا كذلك الإيمان بالمرتبة الثانية من مراتب القدر, وهي الكتابة, لأن الله عز وجل أمر بكتابة سبحانه وتعالى كل ما يكون من خلقه سبحانه وتعالى, كما قال ربنا جل وعلا, ألم تعلم أن الله يعلم ما في السماء والأرض, إن ذلك في كتاب, إن ذلك على الله يسير. وقال جل وعلا وكل صغير وكبير مستطر أي قد سطر وكتب. وفي صحيح مسلم من حديث عبد الله بن عمرو بن العاص قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم كتب الله مقادير الخلائق قبل أن يخلق السماوات والأرض 50,000 سنة. وفي السنن من حديث ابن عباس والبراء يقول النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام أول ما خلق الله القلم فقال له أكتب، قال وما أكتب؟ قال أكتب ما هو كائن إلى يوم القيامة. فالمسلم يجب أن يؤمن بهذه الأدلة من الكتاب والسنة وغيرها كثير مما فيه أن الله عز وجل أمر بكتابة الأشياء قبل وقوعها. وكذلك نقول هنا لا منافاة بين كتابة الأشياء قبل وقوعها وبين كونها تقع وبين كونها تقع نعم وبين كونها تقع من العباد باختيارهم، فهي تقع من العباد باختيارهم. وإن كان قد سبق في علم الله أنها تقع، وإن سبق كذلك في علم الله عز وجل أنها تكتب فتقع بمثل ما قد علمها الله سبحانه وبمثل ما كتبت وأمر الله بكتابتها. وهكذا كذلك من الإيمان بالقدر الإيمان بمشيئة الله عز وجل النافذة ومشيئة العبد التابعة لمشيئة الله، كما قال الله سبحانه وتعالى وما تشاءون إلا أن يشاء الله رب العالمين. فمشيئة العباد تابعة لمشيئة الله سبحانه وتعالى. وهكذا كذلك نقول هنا لا منافاة بين أن للعبد مشيئة وأن مشيئته تابعة لمشيئة الله سبحانه وتعالى. لأن العبد دلت أدلة الكتاب والسنة وإجماع الأمة والحس والعقل والفطرة كلها تثبت أن العبد له مشيئة واختيار، وهو يفعل ذلك بمحض إرادته لا مجبر له على فعله. يعني إثبات المشيئة للعبد لا يقتضي أنه مجبور كما يقول الجبرية، وهم فرقة ضلوا في باب القدر يزعمون أن الإنسان كالريشة في مهب الريح ليس لها اختيار، وهذا خطأ وهذا خطأ. لماذا؟ لأن الإنسان يعرف بحسه أي إحساسه الذي يدرك به الأشياء في الواقع من سمع وبصر وكلام ولمس أن هذا غير صحيح، وبفطرته كذلك يدرك أن هذا غير صحيح، وبعقله يدرك أن هذا غير صحيح. وهكذا أدلة الكتاب والسنة وإجماع الأمة كلها تكذب هذه الدعوة. فالإنسان يفرق على سبيل المثال بين سقوط الرجل من على السطح بغير إرادته وسقوطه بإرادته، فرجل أراد أن يصعد على السطح فسقط، وآخر قفز من فوق السطح ورمى نفسه فسقط، كلاهما سقط. نحن بالحس وبالفطرة وبالعقل فضلا عن الشرع والإجماع نفرق بين هذين الفعلين، وهكذا الشرع يفرق بينهما. فهذا الذي سقط خطأ إن مات مات شهيدا، وذاك الذي رمى نفسه إن مات مات وهو من أهل النار. فكل الأدلة تفرق بين ما يفعله العبد باختياره وبين ما يقع عليه بغير اختياره، وهذا أمر في الحقيقة لا يجادل فيه إلا مكابر، وإلا فأدلة الشرع لا تعارض الحس والواقع والفطرة والعقل أبدا، بل كلها تتفق اتفاقا واضحا جليا، لكن عند المنصفين. ومع هذا فإن من كمال ربوبية الرب جل وعلا لا يكون في ملكه سبحانه وتعالى إلا ما يريد وما يشاء، وهذا بمقتضى حكمته وعموم علمه وعدله سبحانه. والقدر سر الله تعالى، نعم وحكمته، والقدر سر الله تعالى. قد يدرك العبد ذلك وقد يخفى عليه شيء، فما أدركه أثبته، وما جهله وكل علمه إلى الله سبحانه وتعالى، لأنه من علم الغيب. ولهذا كان السلف يسمونه سر، وكل علمه إلى الله، وما جهله وكل علمه إلى الله، لأنه من علم الغيب. ولهذا السلف كانوا يسمونه سر. والله جل وعلا يقول عالم الغيب فلا يظهر على غيب أحد إلا من ارتضى من رسول. وهكذا المرتبة الرابعة من مراتب القدر الإيمان بخلق العباد وأعمالهم، لأن الله خلق الخلق وخلق أعمالهم كما قال الله عز وجل: والله خلقكم وما تعملون، أي وعملكم. والله كذلك الذي قال عن نفسه أنه خالق كل شيء، مقتضى هذا العموم أنه يخلق الخلق ويخلق كذلك أعمالهم. وفي مستدرك الحاكم من حديث حذيفة رضي الله تعالى عنه قال: قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: إن الله صانع، أو إن الله خالق كل صانع وصنعته. الله خلق الخلق وخلق أعمالهم كذلك. فالخير والشر الذي يفعله العبد هو مخلوق لله سبحانه وتعالى، يضاف إلى الله سبحانه وتعالى إضافة خلق. لا نقول كمن ضل من القدرية الذين شابهوا المجوس فزعموا أن الله يخلق الخير والعبد يخلق الشر، كما لا نقول كمن ضل بأن العبد مجبور على فعله، ليس له من فعله شيء، خيره وشره، فالأول ضلال والثاني ضلال. والصواب الذي دلت عليه أدلة الكتاب والسنة وتوافقه سائر الأدلة من عقلية وفطرية وحسية أن العبد يفعل أفعاله وهو مختار لها، وهي مخلوقة لله عز وجل، وهي مخلوقة لله عز وجل، خيرها وشرها. والشر يضاف إلى الله عز وجل إضافة خلق، كما قال سبحانه وتعالى: من شر ما خلق. ولا يضاف إلى الله عز وجل إضافة وصف، كما قال النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام في دعائه كما في صحيح مسلم من حديث علي: والشر ليس إليك، يعني لا يضاف إلى الله إضافة وصف أو فعل، فليس من وصفه ولا من فعله الشر جل وعلا، ولكنه يخلق الخير والشر، على أن خلقه للشر بحسب علم المخلوق، وإلا فلله حكمة في ذلك، كما قال جل وعلا: وعسى أن تكرهوا شيئا وهو خير لكم. فهذه المراتب الأربعة نؤمن بها كما دلت عليها الأدلة من الكتاب والسنة، وهي في الحقيقة لا تعارض أي أدلة أخرى، بل كل الأدلة تثبتها وتقر بها، فالواجب الإيمان بها كذلك. والآن يترجم أخونا أبو حذيفة، والله تعالى أعلم.
So Sheikh Abdullah Hafizahullah Ta'ala went on saying that second level of al-Iman bil-Qadr is al-Iman bil-Kitabah, is the fact that Allah has ordered that every single thing should be written down in the Lawh al-Mahfuz before they were created by, يعني before that, by 50,000 years. And Sheikh Abdullah Hafizahullah Ta'ala mentioned the verse where Allah says, do you not know that Allah knows everything which is that is in the heaven and the earth, and all of this is in a book, and verily this is easy for Allah. And also the ayah of Surah Al-Hadid, every single little thing and big thing is mustatar, يعني put down into lines, ma'na, written, يعني written. And also the hadith in Sahih Muslim where the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that Allah has written down the maqadir al-khala'iq, meaning the qadr of every single creation before the heavens and the earth were created, all of this 50,000 years before the creation. and also the hadith where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that Allah said to the pen, write. So the pen said, what should I write? And then he said, write every single thing that is going to happen until the end of times. So it is upon the Muslim to believe in this text from the Quran and the Sunnah, that verily Allah has ordered for everything to be written down before those things happened and before they were created. And this does not negate the fact, as we have mentioned, that those things happened by choice of the creation, that the slave has chosen his own action that he has done, and there is no negation between that or contradiction between that and the fact that Allah has written them down before it happened. Because as we mentioned before, Allah knew of all of this before it happened and before it was created. And this is how he ordered things to be written down before they happened. So just as Allah knew everything before it happened, he has ordered for it to be written down. Then the next level of al-iman bil-qadr is al-iman bil-mashi'ah, bi-mashi'atillah, al-nafidah. يعني the fact that you believe in the will of Allah, and that the will of Allah is something which has to happen necessarily. And the fact that the will of the slave is, like we say in Arabic, tabi'ah. يعني it follows up from the will of Allah. Like Allah says in the Quran, وَمَا تَشَاءُونَ إِلَّا أَن يَشَاءَ اللَّهُ رَبُّ الْعَالَمِينَ. And you do not want except that Allah wants the Lord, يعني Allah the Lord of all the worlds. And so Shaykh Abdullah Hafidhahullah Ta'ala comments by saying that just as here, there is no negation or no contradiction in the fact that the slave has his own will, and the fact that his will is following from the will of Allah. Because verily, the proofs of the Quran and the Sunnah and the consensus of this Ummah and the reality of our life, and the sound mind, and also the fitrah of the human being, all of this indicates and affirms that the human being, the slave, has his own will, and that he does what he does by his own choice, and that this is only because he wants to do this, and that there is nobody who forces him to do what he does. يعني the fact that Allah wills something, this does not imply that the slave is forced to do what he is doing. Like the sect of Al-Jabariyyah have said, يعني they have described the human being like being a feather in the wind. يعني it has absolutely no power. If the wind goes this way, it's blown this way, and if it goes that way, it's blown that way. So this is the understanding of the Jabariyyah, and this is not correct. Because verily, the human being in his daily life, he understands that this wording, يعني this opinion of the Jabariyyah is not correct, because it goes against the reality that he's living in. It goes against his own understanding and goes against his fitrah. يعني everything goes against this claim of al-Jabariyyah. For example, if you have a human being who climbs on the rooftop of a house, and then he falls off of it for some reason, يعني not linked to his own will, he had no intention to fall off. So this is something. Unlike somebody who climbed up the roof and then jumped off and fell down. You see that those are two completely different things. That one has done something, or يعني something happened without him wanting it, and the second one has done something يعني out of personal choice. And you see that there is a very clear difference between those things. This is for what we understand. And also in the Sharia, there is a very big difference between those two cases. Taking the case of those two men, for example, the person who climbed up the roof and who fell accidentally, يعني not linked to his own will, then if he dies, he is shaheed, he's a martyr. Unlike the one who threw himself from the roof, if he dies, then he is يعني in that state, and he is from the people of hellfire. يعني مفهوم أن الذي رمى نفسه من السطح يعني انتحر. نعم. Because يعني what is understood is that the man jumped from the rooftop, يعني committing suicide. So he has done this through his own choice. So all of us understand the difference between those two things. So we understand that what the slave does in his life is something which he does out of his own choice, and that there are things that happen, we understand the difference between the things that the slave makes through his own choice and things that happen in his life which are not linked to his personal will. And nobody is arguing in concerning that sort of issue except somebody who is proud or has pride and does not want to accept the truth. And with this, with what has been mentioned, we mentioned that it is from the complete lordship and from the perfection of the lordship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that nothing happens in His kingdom and in His creation except by His will. And this is in accordance to His wisdom and His complete knowledge of everything and His fairness. And the qadr, the decree of Allah, is the secret of Allah. Verily, there are things that we might not understand, and things that might remain hidden from us. So whatever we understand, we affirm it, and whatever we cannot understand, we still affirm it, and we leave its knowledge up to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is why the Salaf used to say that Al-Qadr is the secret of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Like Allah says in Surah Al-Jin, عَالِمُ الْغَيْبِ, the knower of the unseen, فَلَا يُظْهِرُ عَلَىٰ غَيْبِهِ أَحَدًا. So he does not let anybody يعني get knowledge of his ghaib, of his unseen. He does not let anybody get knowledge of this unseen. إِلَّا مَنْ يَرْتَضَى مِنْ الرَّسُولِ, except for whoever he wants from prophets and until the end of the ayah. Then Shaykh Abdullah went on to the next level of Al-Iman Bil-Qadr, which is Al-Khalq, the creation. Is the fact that Allah has created all the creation and has created all the deeds of the creation, all the actions of the creation. Like Allah says in the Quran, and Allah has created you and that what you are doing. If I'm not mistaken, one of the translations of the meanings of the Quran said that has created you and your handicrafts. يعني meaning whatever deeds you are doing, it's all created from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, as you know that Allah has created everything, enters into this the fact that our deeds are created by Allah in the same way. And as was mentioned in Al-Mustadrak from Al-Hakim, from the hadith that was reported by Hudhayfa radiallahu ta'ala anhu, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, verily Allah is the creator of every sani', yani sani', we can translate it as somebody who is doing handicraft work or يعني things like that. يعني المهم, he's building things with his hand. So he is the creator of every sani', يعني every person who creates things, if we can say like that, يعني that in the sense that he builds things and puts together things. Wa sun'atihi, يعني that Allah is the creator of the fact that he builds together those things, يعني of his action. And so Allah is the creator of all the actions of the slaves, whether they be good or bad. Because even the bad actions of the slaves are still from the creation of Allah. And evil is attributed to Allah as being a creation from Allah, unlike what Al-Qadariyya says, because they have fallen into what the Majus, the fire worshippers, have fallen into, in the sense that they said that Allah created the good and the people created the evil. This is not correct. Verily, Allah has created everything, the good and the evil. يعني so in the second extreme concerning this issue is another sect who's saying that the slave is forced to do whatever he's forced يعني is forced to do whatever he does, meaning that he has no choice in what he's doing. So Sheikh Abdullah says that those are the both misguidance paths that have been taken by the people concerning this matter, and the right path is that what the proofs from the Quran and the Sunnah have mentioned is the fact that Allah has created the slaves and their actions, and He has created the good and the bad of those actions, and that the slaves do what they are doing out of their own will. They are the ones who choose the actions that they are doing. And as said, evil is not attributed to Allah as a characteristic or as an action, but it is attributed to Allah in the sense that Allah has created evil. Like Allah said in the Quran, قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ الْفَلَقِ مِنْ شَرِّ مَا خَلَقِ. Say, I seek refuge with the Lord of Al-Falaq from the evil that He created. So this clearly shows that Allah has created the evil. So evil is attributed to Allah as being a creation from Allah. But at the same time, we say, like the Prophet ﷺ said in his dua, وَالشَّرُّ لَيْسَ إِلَيْكَ. And evil is not attributed to you. Meaning that evil is not attributed to Allah as a characteristics or as an action. يعني that Allah does not do evil deeds and that Allah is not described as being evil. Because verily, even the fact that Allah has created the evil actions of His creation, this is, they are considered to be evil from a point of view, from our point of view. But the reality is that Allah has created this for a purpose, and this is in accordance to His wisdom, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And like Allah says in the Quran, and وَعَسَىٰ أَن تَكْرَهُ شَيْئًا وَهُوَ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ. And you might hate something or dislike something, and the reality is that it is something good for you. So these are the levels of al-iman bil-qadr, the faith in al-qadr that we have been ordered to believe in from the Quran and the Sunnah, and there is no contradiction in what has been mentioned between the different levels and within every single of those levels. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam.
واخيرا ان نعلم هنا ان الايمان بالقدر له اثار وثمرات وفوائد عظيمه, ومن اعظمها اننا بذلك نعرف عظمه الرب سبحانه وتعالى بعموم ربوبيته ونفوذ ذلك على خلقه, فعند ذلك نعتمد على الله جل وعلا مسبب الأسباب ومقدر ومدبر الأمور سبحانه وتعالى, وهذا له أثر عظيم على العبد. ولهذا جاء في حديثه ووصية النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم لابن عباس, إذا استعنت فاستعن بالله, بعد قوله إذا سألت فاسأل الله. وهكذا من ثمراته وآثاره وفضائله أنه سبب لحصول الطمأنينة في القلب, وكذلك الراحة في النفس كما مر معنا في قوله جل وعلا ما أصاب من مصيبة في الأرض ولا في أنفسكم إلا في كتاب من قبل أن نبرأها إن ذلك على الله يسير لكي لا تأسوا على ما فاتكم ولا تفرحوا بما آتاكم والله لا يحب كل مختال فخور. فمن حكمة الله عز وجل أن الإيمان بالقدر يدخل على القلب الطمأنينة وعلى النفس الراحة والسكينة, فلا يكون حزن على ما فات لأنك تعلم أنه بقدر الله، ولا يكون كذلك غرور ولا فرح بما يحصل من الإنسان، فإنه يكسر الإيمان بالقدر، يكسر العجب والغرور، ويعلم أن ما أتاه إنما هو من نعمة الله عز وجل، وما حصل له من الخير والنجاح هو من الله عز وجل، فيشكر الله على ما أنعم عليه فلا يغتر بنفسه. ولهذا تجد الكفار والفجار كثيرو الغرور بسبب أشياء كثيرة، ومنها عدم الإيمان بالقدر. وهكذا من ثمراته وفوائده أنه يثمر الرضا بالله عز وجل وعطائه على النفس وعلى الغير، فيقنع بما عطاه الله ويرضى بما أعطى غيره، فيزول عند ذلك الحسد ولا يبقى له مكان بسبب إيمانه بالله عز وجل وإيمانه بالقضاء والقدر. وهكذا كذلك الإيمان بالقدر سبب للشجاعة، لأنه يعلم أن ما أصابه لم يكن ليخطئه، وما أخطأه لم يكن ليصيبه، كما جاء في وصية النبي عليه الصلاة والسلام لابن عباس: واعلم أن الأمة لو اجتمعت على أن يضروك بشيء فلن يضروك إلا بشيء قد كتبه الله عليك. وهكذا كذلك من فوائده أنه يورث العزة والقناعة والعفة، من فوائده أنه يورث العزة والقناعة والعفة، وتعلق القلب بالله عز وجل وحده ليس بأحد من المخلوقين، كما في حديث ابن عباس: واعلم أن الأمة لو اجتمعت على أن ينفعوك بشيء فلن ينفعوك إلا بشيء قد كتبه الله لك. وعند ذلك يكون المؤمن كثير الاستعانة بالله عز وجل وعظيم التوكل على الله جل وعلا، وبذلك تحصل العبودية الكاملة التامة لله سبحانه. وهذه العبودية الكاملة التامة مطلب عظيم من أسباب تحقيقه الإيمان بالقدر. وهكذا أخيرا، والثمار كثيرة لكن نختصر على هذا، أن الإيمان بالقدر كذلك يورث الصبر والثبات عند الشدائد، ويورث قوة العزيمة، وعدم الشك والتردد، كل هذا من آثار الإيمان بالقدر، وهذا قليل من كثير يدلنا على حكمة الله عز وجل فيما شرع وفرض على عباده وخلقه سبحانه وتعالى بما هو غني عنه، ولكن فيه الخير للناس في الدنيا قبل الآخرة. وبهذا القدر نكتفي، وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد وآله وصحبه وسلم ويترجم أخونا أبو حذيفة حفظه الله.
And finally, Sheikh Abdullah حفظه الله تعالى is saying that he wants to mention some of the benefits that the believer gets from believing into Al-Qadr and how this affects his life as a believer. So he says that the benefits of Al-Iman Bil-Qadr are great and that they are numerous, and we are just going to mention some of them here. First of all, it makes us understand the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the generality and the perfection of His Lordship and how His will has to happen and is put in application. So if the slave understands this, you will see that he will start relying upon Musabbib al-Asbab, the one who makes things happen, the one who makes the causes have their effects. And he is the one who decreed those causes to have their effects. And this is why it was reported in the Wasiyah, what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam enjoined Abdullah ibn Abbas with, where he said, إِذَا اسْتَعَنْتَ فَاسْتَعِنْ بِاللَّهِ. If you seek for help, then seek help from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. يعني because whatever Allah has decreed will happen and has to happen obligatory. So Shaykh Abdullah is saying that it is also a cause for peacefulness entering into the heart of the believer. And he will find his soul in peace, and he will not be stressed or distressed in his life. Like, because he understands that everything that happens is from the Qadr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As Allah said in the ayah that we have mentioned before in Surah Al-Hadith, no calamity befalls on the earth, or in yourself, but it is inscribed in the book of decrees, يعني اللوح المحفوظ, before we bring it into existence. Verily, that is easy for Allah. In order that you may not grieve at things over that you fail to get, يعني things that you missed, nor rejoice over that which has been given to you. And Allah does not like every prideful boaster. So Shaykh Abdullah is commenting saying that the believer will not be stricken by sadness for whatever he missed from the things of his dunya, because he knows that whatever he missed it because of the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And also, opposite to that, he is not fooled by whatever comes to him from the bounties of Allah, because he knows that they are from Allah, and he does not start bragging and boasting for whatever he might have reached from the matters of this dunya. Rather, he is aware that this is a ni'mah from Allah, and he knows that he has to be thankful for this. So he will be humble, unlike the kuffar, who are fooled by whatever they might get from this dunya and start being arrogant and bragging and boasting about this. Next, Shaykh Abdullah said, believing in Al-Qadr gives you a rida. Yani, you are pleased and you are satisfied with whatever Allah has given you. And this makes Al-Hasad, envy and jealousy, go out of your heart. Because you know that whatever Allah has given to you is what was to happen for you, and whatever Allah has given to somebody else, then this is what Allah has given to him. What do you want to do? Naam. And it gives you qana'a, meaning that it's sufficient for you. You will feel in your heart that it's sufficient for you. Next, Shaykh Abdullah hafizahullah ta'ala mentioned that Al-Iman Bil-Qadr is something which gives you braveness and strengthens you, because you know that nothing will happen to you befall you or strike you except what Allah has decreed for you to strike you, and nothing will miss you except what Allah has decreed for you to miss you. And this is why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to Abdullah ibn Abbas, when he was enjoining him with those wasaya, he said, and if the ummah had come together as to benefit you with something, they would only be able to benefit you with something that Allah had already written down for you to reach you. Next, this will, the belief in Al-Qadr gives man honor in his life and in the way he behaves. Because he will be satisfied with whatever Allah has given him, and he will only look for what Allah is going to give him in halal, because he knows that it's going to come to him. So he knows that there is no point seeking for it in what Allah has made haram for him, because it's going to come to him anyway. So he stays within halal and waits for it to come. And this is what you call in Arabic al-iffah, meaning that you are you seek self-sufficiency with al-halal only. And also because the heart of the slave will be attached to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. Like it is understood from the hadith of Abdullah ibn Abbas, if the whole ummah was together as to benefit you with something, they would only be able to benefit you with something that Allah has already written down for you. So there is no point in having your heart attached to other than Allah. And if this is the case, if the heart of the believer is completely and only attached to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, his isti'ana, his seeking help with Allah will grow and will be much stronger. And his tawakkul, his relying upon Allah will be much stronger. And through this, he will raise in his worship to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is something great that the human being reaches in his life through al-iman bil-qadr. Then next, Shaykh Abdullah Hafidhahullah ta'ala mentioned that al-iman bil-qadr is something which makes you reach sabr, patience, and firmness, especially in times of hardship. And it will give you strong will and will make you determined to go for what you have to go. And you will not be hesitant or doubtful in the fact that things will happen the way they are supposed to happen. So all of these are from the great benefits and positive effect of al-iman bil-qadr upon the believer. And verily, we have only mentioned a few of them. And you see that this is a little of those many things that Allah has legislated for his creation. And you see that through this, the believer reaches perfection, whether it be in this life or in the life of the Akhirah. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam. Shaykh Abdullah Hafidhahullah ta'ala stopped here. We say, Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. La ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.